Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Last night, the Padres evened the series in Orange County against the Angels in extra innings with a three-run double in the 10th from Matt Kemp. And our host, Jesse Agler, will be looking for more of the same tonight.
I'll get on board with that. Sign me up.
Meanwhile, our other host, Randy Jones, is, well, he didn't show up on Saturday, so we don't have any new sound from him. But if I did, he'd probably be making fun of the Angels for being in the American League and saying stuff like, I have no use for the American League. American League is useless. Anyway, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
That's not a bad impersonation. That's not bad at all.
That wasn't bad at all, and that's exactly what I'd have said. That's a good call. I like that.
He's inside your head.
I'm telling you.
Pete, the guy that does the voice.
Yeah, Pete, you're right. That's a junior circuit, the American League. Boy. Good job, man.
Welcome to the AMR studio at Petco Park. That is Randy Jones, and you are here.
I'm here.
Last time you were supposed to be here, you weren't here, and it's fine.
Swing and a miss.
Hey, it happens, man. You fail 7 out of 10 times in this sport, and you show up at least 8 out of 10, so that's pretty good.
I honestly was shocked that it hadn't happened before that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a little CRS, which we'll get into, but, you know, just...
Hey, it happens.
Off the radar.
Now, you had a little bit of a work project, right?
Yeah, I was out
in
the
barn.
You had a good reason. Cleaning the barn up and all around it, trimming this, and just had like 4 projects going, and just running around just... Boom.
Did you get them done at least? That's really what I'm concerned about.
It looks beautiful. I should have sent you a picture.
Okay.
Where do you look? You know.
By the way, here's what I'm doing. Yeah, here's what I've been up to.
Yeah, I like to care.
What do you wear, by the way, when you're out working in the barn and doing your thing?
Yeah, if I'd have ran down here, that'd have been ugly.
You got a cowboy hat, maybe?
No, just a pair of shorts. Work shoes and.
See, I was envisioning something like a lot more. Flamboyant than that.
I mean, there's a lot of horses in the back. It's a barn. It's. You know, it has everything from barbecue sauce to bird seed in it.
Okay. Is it more of a shed or is it like a big barn?
Well, it's kind of a big barn. It's got all my tractor and all my yard equipment and everything.
Can I come up and see it someday?
Sure. Anytime.
I'll bring lunch. I'll bring sandwiches. Sure. And I would like to see the barn.
Bring a couple dog biscuits. Got dogs, you know, bird dogs.
I'll take care of the dogs.
I love you.
All right, cool. I want to check that out. Hey, 4-0 and 10. You don't often hear that score. 4-0 and 10. Where do I want to begin with this? Let's start with Matt Kemp. The monkey off the back for Matt Kemp. I mean, this guy has been so frustrated, and he's gotten, you know, a couple nasty strike threes the last couple nights, too.
I know.
And to his credit, he knew they were bad calls, and he didn't go crazy. Because when you're in the middle of a slump and you're a superstar player, you can't take it out on the umpire,
and
right?
You don't want to give up at bats, and that's exactly what you would have done, Jesse, in that point. You start yelling at the umpire, arguing balls and strikes, he's going to run you.
You're gone.
And now you're going to miss a couple at bats. And, you know, Matt Kemp being the veteran guy, trust me, people, it's not his first slump.
No.
All right?
Yeah.
Been there. You know, and it's a great thing. Is he breaking out of it? Well, we're going to find out.
Sure. But we'll see going forward.
But a clutch hit with runners in scoring position, that's what it's all about.
In a scoreless game, in extra innings, it checked all the boxes, right?
Yes.
And the emotion that he showed going into second base, the guy was so fired up, and he's like clapping as he goes into second that like his helmet falls down over his face. I mean, it was so good to see that because you just know, you know, all of that pent-up frustration that he had. And it wasn't some little cheap dribbler, you know, through the middle or something like that. It was a well-struck double down the line with the bases loaded in a scoreless game.
Well, it's great. He got the head out and, you know, kept it fair. That's the hardest thing to do in those type of pitches. And, you know, great job by him. But hopefully this will get him going. Hey, does it matter? He's not in the 3 spot. He's in the 4 spot. I don't know.
I mean, last night it did.
He comes up
with the bases loaded because he's in the 4 spot last night.
I bet John Cotera last night in the postgame show the $100 that he's going to be the 4th hitter tonight.
And you're right.
And of course.
Well, did he take the bet or he agreed with you?
No, he wouldn't go there.
He is once again batting 4th, as you would expect. And we'll obviously talk about tonight's starting lineup coming up in a little bit. So that was huge for Matt Kemp. And obviously the win was huge for the Padres. And now on a macro level and a micro level, on a team level and an individual level, you want to see the Padres as a whole and you want to see Matt Kemp sort of keep it rolling now.
Yes.
Because last night, that was great. The win, great. The hit from Kemp, great. but it's time to start, you know, getting things moving, both individually for him and for the entire team.
Well, I think so. You know, the bottom of the lineup, honestly, you know, is not getting it done. They're struggling down there. So it's kind of important, you know, those other six guys, you know, kind of pick it up a little bit. You know, they're going to have their moments, but right now, you know, they're not getting the job done down there. So it's the top of the lineup's really got to get it done, Jesse. And last night it was great. The one thing I really like is, you know, I really like what I saw on the mound.
Oh, there it is. We had to get to the pitching.
I had to.
We'll get to the defense, too, in a couple of moments.
You bet.
But Odrysamer Despaigne, and, I mean, well-documented, his struggles away from Petco Park over the course of his brief Major League career. Last night, the first time since he made his Major League debut in San Francisco last year that he had a shutout outing on the road, or an outing in which he did not allow any runs away from San Diego. He was really hitting spots last night.
Fastball command is what it's all about.
Yeah.
When he has that, now his secondary pitches, you know, that little curveball and everything are so much more effective. And it was great to see him do that and build some confidence. So momentum going forward, what is that? I want to say six consecutive quality starts by
seven, maybe eight.
Is it seven or eight?
I think because it was a full five through the rotation, and now one, two, and three. Eight.
Yeah, I guess
that's
eight.
Eight quality starts in a row out of the rotation.
Yeah,
and they've won like three of those games.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to get points.
That's it.
Yeah.
The guy has to touch home plate a couple
that
more times as the ball goes around the outfield.
Hey, you can hit the way 10 innings. You can do it in the first three if you want.
Yeah, no, that's it. You can do it early. No rule against
maybe
that.
Maybe I get a funny feeling. Maybe I got a good vibe about Cashner on the mound tonight and, our offense. Maybe we'll get him some early runs, see if he can protect the lead.
He's been the guy not to get the run support.
I know it.
He's in that spot in the rotation, and so you'll see what happens there. But, yeah, Despaigne, six shutout innings, and then Maurer, Benoit, Garces, Thayer, Kimbrel all did their things. The bullpen last night, four hitless shutout innings.
So we'll start with Maurer and how well he's been.
Really good.
You know, his last, I don't know, it seems like a dozen appearances, he's been lights out.
That's it.
And he can go, you know, he can go that two innings. He has one appearance where he went two. And, you know, he's got that starter-type mentality where two or three innings wouldn't bother him at all. I like that.
Yeah, no, Brandon Maurer has really, really, really turned into a great piece in the bullpen. And, if I'm being honest, he's turned into now what I think a lot of us thought he was going to be when he came over from that Seattle trade. He arrived with a decent amount of hype.
Right.
You know, say, hey, this guy can throw hard. He's 98. He's got good movement, this and that. And, you know, we didn't see it the first couple of times out. There were some struggles early on for him out of the bullpen. But as you said, he really seems to have gotten locked in.
Yeah. Now you got that feels good. And once again, these guys start getting locked in, and it kind of builds, that confidence builds, you know. And you know, everybody right now, Benoit, you know, all of them, they're doing a good job.
All right. Now let's talk about what may have been the most important play of the night. And what certainly was the most exciting play of the night. No disrespect to Matt Kemp's three-run double in the scoreless game in the 10th inning.
He doesn't get that at bat.
Doesn't
this
happen.
This ball's not caught.
It doesn't happen if Will Venable does not go back to the wall and out-trout Mike Trout in the bottom half of the third inning. This was a two-run homer. And then Will Venable makes the great, great catch out in center field.
Yeah, just his value out in center field. You see it time and again.
Yeah.
And also, he's hitting over 300 right now. The way Will's swinging the bat, I mean, he's really contributing. It's great to see, you know, right now what he's doing for the ball club.
If you're a Padre fan, you probably like Will Venable. He's been here for a while. He's a great guy. He's out in the community. You know, he was the team MVP a couple of years ago.
That is correct.
He says all the right things. You want success for Will Venable. And so, obviously, he's getting this opportunity now because of injury. Two injuries, really, because he started playing center field, remember, mainly when Alonso got hurt and they moved Myers to first base.
That's right.
And then Myers got hurt. But so he's there because of injury, and he's really taking advantage of it. Since Alonso went on the DL, 15 games for Will Venable, he's gotten a hit in 11 of them, and his batting average is over 400 in those 15 games since Yonder Alonso went on the disabled list.
And you build that momentum, and, you know, and the one thing I think about Will Venable in the past few years, Jesse, you know, and there were times where he'd really get hot and really swing the bat well, and then all of a sudden, like, he'd take a fastball off a finger, you know, and he'd miss a week. And then all of a sudden, all that momentum that he'd built up, you know, kind of he'd trying to get it back.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, just keep him healthy. He's going to be in the lineup. Looks like Will Myers might be out a little bit longer with his tendonitis, and that doesn't surprise me. That it's great to see him playing as well as he is. And you know what you're going to get in center field. It's going to be, you know, absolutely the best.
By the way, we were not the only ones impressed with that catch last night that Will Venable made. The Angels Twitter account, the Angels themselves, hey, Will what? Venable, you know that's Mike Trout, right? Venable just went all Mike Trout on Mike Trout. Hat tip to you, sir. That's yes. a nice tweet
that is
from
a
the
nice
other
tweet.
Team. That's well done, Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles,
and you,
Orange County
and
social media.
You've seen the highlights of you know, him doing that, you know? Trout.
Oh, he does it all the time.
Yeah, and we've seen it two or three times where he's stealing home runs, and all of a sudden he squares up on one, and Will Venable.
Venable trouted
Mike Trout.
Him. I love it.
I like it.
Love it. All right. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about all-star voting. This is one of my favorite and least favorite topics of conversation. All at the same time. I love talking about it, but I also hate talking about
it. You've got to explain that.
I will do that. So Thank we'll you. Talk about that when we return. Also, we got a couple of neat things coming up for you. One, our buddy Tim Haggerty, who is the radio play-by-play announcer for the AAA El Paso Chihuahuas, will join us. We're going to talk to him about what's going down on the farm. We'll talk Melvin Upton Jr. We'll talk Cody Decker.
Nice.
We'll talk Tommy Medica. Also, we're going to relive with him a great moment in minor league baseball history, the anniversary of which is today. And in a little bit later, something we haven't done yet this year, which is crazy because it's one of my favorite segments. It's called So That Happened with Patrick. Patrick from our communications department is going to come down, and he's going to give us some great Friar figures.
Oh, nice.
So that's going to be taking place in a little while. All right, Randy, I don't know that you knew that, know this because I've only known it since yesterday, but tomorrow night at Petco Park
yes.
is the first singles night of the season.
Really?
So we're trying to get Blooper to go. I've offered to put down the $35, which, by the way, includes a drink ticket.
Hey, I'll contribute if I have to.
You know what? I got it.
All right.
I got it. Blooper, you go to Padres.com/singles night, and this is tomorrow night at Petco Park. It's obviously the game against the Pirates. The $35 gets you in, it gets you the drink ticket, and you get an opportunity to hang out with other single Padre fans. This seems like the place for Blooper to be, and all of you who are single and interested and looking tomorrow night.
Now you don't even have to dress up, Blooper.
I mean, it might help
a little bit.
It can't hurt. Yeah. Padres.com/singles night for all the details. We'll take a break, come back, talk about all-star voting. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. I want to go to Coronado, like right now. That looks good. It was a lot darker, cloudier earlier. It's burned off a little bit now, and a really beautiful late afternoon here in America's finest city. Padres wrapping up the road trip tonight in Anaheim. They played 3 in Los Angeles, 1-1. They have so far played 2 in Anaheim and 1-1. Tonight would be a really, really nice game to win.
It really, get away day and everything else, but you got to start winning series, Jesse. And, boy, this would be a prime opportunity right now, some momentum. Pittsburgh's coming in for a four-game series. They're playing well. You know, they won 5 in a row. Don't know what they've done today, but they've won 5 in a row. And right after that, the Mets come in. Still a lot of workload on this schedule that the Padres have.
Yeah. It has been very, very tough. In fact, if you look at the number of teams they've played that are at or above 500, I think more than any other team in baseball. So it has been a difficult schedule. A lot of games, you know, against the Dodgers and the Giants, quality opponents. But that does not explain
the
record for the Padres.
That is correct.
In that they haven't taken advantage of some of the other, you know, quote-unquote weaker teams. And look, they're all major league teams, but they have lost more than a handful of games that you probably feel like they should have won.
Were they 2-5 in interleague? You know, something like that. You know, you got to do a better job in interleague as well, I think.
Got swept by the Astros here. Now it turns out all of a sudden they're like the best team in baseball.
Thirty wins.
Yeah, so maybe there's no shame in that. But the Seattle was a little bit ugly. You've got this going on now in Anaheim. What's left in interleague? The A's. They're doing the 2-2 with the A's. 2 here, it followed immediately by 2 there.
That's crazy.
They've got that one coming up. They've got Texas twice, I think, and then Seattle comes here. So you'll get another shot. you know, in this interleague play. But I don't know. Forget interleague play. Let's talk about all-star voting. The Major League Baseball folks today announced the first round of, not results, but sort of the updated votes for the leaders in the National League. And we got some work to do here. Now, I said that I love all-star voting and I hate all-star voting conversations. What I mean to say is I love it because I think it's a really, really fun thing for the fans.
I agree.
And I like that. I hate talking about it because people get really bent out of shape about it and they maybe take it more seriously than it should be taken. And what I mean by that is people will complain, it's nothing but a popularity contest. It's ballot stuffing. It's the Royals fans. And I want to say, yes, that's exactly what it is.
That's what it is, yeah.
Right. And it's an exhibition game. And forget that it counts and all that nonsense. I'm over that.
Like,
it's an exhibition. And so if you're upset with the voting, well, go vote. You can vote up to 35 times on the eSurance MLB All-Star ballot at Padres.com/vote or on your MLB.com at bat app. Okay? You can vote, so go vote 30. But anyway, here are the Padres that are sort of in the running right now. And, of course, this is just for starting. This doesn't mean these guys won't get in, you know, as reserves. But when it comes to the starters in the National League, Derek Norris is fifth among catchers. Let me start with this one. This is criminal. Molina, Posey, Montero, Pierzynski ahead of him. It's criminal, and I'll show you why in a moment. Kemp is currently eighth among outfielders. Upton, who's obviously having a better season than Matt Kemp, is ninth. So I would say if you're unhappy with this, go vote.
Yeah. Got to get more Padre fans to vote.
That's it.
Obviously.
Now, Derek Norris, that's the one I want to really focus in on.
I don't blame you.
We mentioned it a little bit. Patrick Kurisch is going to come down, and he's going to do his little stats segment with the Friar Figures. So if you're not following Friar Figures on Twitter, you should be. Here's something that the Friar Figures tweeted earlier today, okay, about Derek Norris. Again, for reference, he is fifth in All-Star voting. He leads National League catchers in hits. He leads National League catchers in extra base hits. He leads National League catchers in RBIs. He leads National League catchers in catcher-caught stealings. Does he lead in all-star votes? No, he's fifth. He leads in all of those categories, but he is fifth in voting. And Yadier Molina, by the way, like, he's not good anymore, Molina. He's a reputation guy, and it happens. But, like, I get that. But Derek Norris should not be fifth in the National League. This is the hill I'm going to die on. This is the guy I'm going to say we need to really work on because Derek Norris has been extremely productive. And, in fact, by those stats, the most productive catcher entire National League.
I agree. But, you know, as far as getting votes, easier said than done. I mean, the fans right here have to get that done.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're waiting for the fans in L.A. and Kansas City to vote Norris in, don't hold your breath. Got to happen right here in our backyard.
There you go. So you just, we got to do it.
Yeah.
So you're going to rally everybody to vote.
People, vote.
There you go. That's nice.
Come on.
That's very nicely done.
That's
a good job by you. All right, so that's the all-star voting situation. We'll take a break when we come back. We're going to hear from Tim Haggerty. He is the radio broadcaster for the AAA El Paso Chihuahuas. He's going to catch us up on Melvin Upton and Cody Decker and Tommy Medica. And we're also going to relive a great moment in minor league baseball history with Tim Haggerty coming up. I just talked about this year's all-star game in Cincinnati. Of course, next year it's going to be played right here at Petco Park. Not in the AMR studio, but rather out on the field, which is next to the AMR studio.
Do we have a show that day?
I'm sure we will. I would guess.
I would assume.
I would guess we'll have a show that day. That's going to be a fun show, though, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
So to guarantee your opportunity to purchase tickets to that game here at Petco Park, become a season ticket member at the Gold or Platinum level and lock in your chance to get tickets, 619-795-5555, or you can email tickets at Padres.com to become a member today. We'll take a break when we come back. Catch up on the AAA El Paso Chihuahuas. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Man, what's with these clouds? May gray here in San Diego. We're not used to this, although I suppose it's a little bit normal for this time of year. Back inside the AMR studio at Petco Park, we're joined on the Cholula hotline by Tim Haggerty, who's the broadcaster for the team's AAA affiliate in El Paso, the Chihuahuas. And Tim, plenty to talk about as the team is in Round Rock, Texas right now. How are things in Round Rock?
It's great. There was some torrential rain here right before game one of the series that caused the outfield to be flooded. But yesterday's doubleheader got in uninterrupted. It's a beautiful stadium, Rangers AAA affiliate here. And for many players, they hadn't been here before. So it's always fun to be around players that are walking into a beautiful ballpark for the first time.
Very cool. All right, let's talk some ball. Let's talk some Chihuahuas baseball. Melvin Upton Jr. acquired in the Craig Kimbrell trade the day before the regular season began for the Major League Padres is there. He's been on a rehab assignment. What have we seen from Melvin Upton Jr. since he's taken the field?
Well, there's no sign of a limp. There's no sign of any foot discomfort. I just spoke to him today. He said he's looking to, quote, pile up ABs, pile up games. Right now, he's 4-for-17 hitting with two doubles, does have a stolen base. I think there was one play that Padres fans would be enthused about, even though it was a play he didn't make the catch on, and that was in his first game in El Paso, he ran back to the wall, jumped up, hit the fence, going all out to try and catch a fly ball. And to me, a player coming off a foot injury, if they were tentative at all, they wouldn't do that. And Melvin went all out trying to make the catch.
That's very encouraging to hear. And I guess the thing we understand about his placement there right now is this is essentially spring training for him, right? And I guess that goes back to his comment about piling up at bats.
Yeah, he used that exact analogy that this is his spring training. It's been interesting for us in El Paso. These are his first games ever in the Padres organization. As you know, he was traded after spring training had ended. So for him, there is a spring training-like feel. When a player is on a major league injury rehab assignment, typically they won't play the entire game. Melvin has played a maximum of 7 innings, with the exception of the days that he's DH'd, in which case he plays all 9. So there is a major league spring training feel where the regular players are out late in the game.
Very interesting. Okay, Tim Haggerty's with us on the Cholula Hotline from Round Rock, Texas, where the Chihuahuas are preparing to play the Express tonight. Let's talk about the manager of the Chihuahuas for a moment, Pat Murphy. When the Brewers made their managerial change a couple of weeks ago, Ron Renicki out, Craig Counsell in, there was a lot of talk about perhaps Milwaukee having an interest in adding Pat Murphy to their big league coaching staff. He coached Craig Counsell at Notre Dame. That did not materialize. What was it like sort of being around the team with all of that, you know, swirling around the manager?
Well, it was unusual because Pat Murphy was on a leave of absence at the time, so he wasn't available to sort it out to the players or the media. Since then, when he's asked, Pat has politely said no comment. And he really is talented as a AAA manager, the way that he rallies the team around him. Because the first day he was back, that first day in New Orleans, he's around the batting cage, busting people's chops, pitching batting practice, yelling at players. It's as if he wasn't gone for a couple of days. So I'm really not sure about the long-term future. Pat respectfully said no comment on that, but I can tell you that it feels just like normal with him back now.
I guess that's all you can ask for. Definitely a little bit of a different situation. All right, back on the field, Cody Decker. He just continues to pile up the home runs, I guess, huh?
Yeah, Cody, like a lot of power hitters, I think him especially, is one who hits home runs in bunches. You know, if you look at a guy's day by day, typically the power hitters don't hit them equidistant apart throughout the season. And Cody's on one of those bunches right now. He's hit 5 home runs in 6 games. He's among the top few in the Pacific Coast League in slugging, in home runs, and home runs per at-bat ratio. And it's incredible. He continues to do what he did last year. Last year had 27 home runs, so it's that combined with his social media presence. It's funny how much questions there are about when Cody Decker will get a major league chance. I think more so than a player who is less visible publicly. It's an interesting social thing what's happened with Cody and his productivity and his sense of humor.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely made a name for himself for reasons other than just baseball, and you got to figure that does contribute to that conversation. Defensively at first base right now for the Chihuahuas, obviously the Padres are hoping Yonder Alonso is back soon, and in fact, you may be seeing him sometime this week on a rehab assignment. How has the playing time at first base been split up this year in El Paso?
It's been a combination of Tommy Medica, Cody Decker, a little bit of Brent Wallace, a little bit of Jake Gobert. So really between those four, but prominently Medica and Decker at first base.
When we first started talking about Tommy Medica in earnest here in San Diego, probably when Yonder went on the disabled list a couple of weeks ago, at the time his numbers from an offensive standpoint were a little bit down. But it does seem like maybe in the last few weeks Medica's gotten it going a little bit offensively, more so than at the beginning of the season.
He is. He's hitting better. Still has one home run, which surprises a lot of people. He's had some higher home run totals in the past by this time of the season, but is hitting better. During that stretch when Yonder Alonso was put on the DL when the club was in Phoenix, I believe, around that time, both Tommy Medica and Brett Wallace were in a couple of days to a week batting slump. Both have since heated up.
Tim Haggerty is with us from Round Rock. He is the El Paso Chihuahuas radio play-by-play voice. He's on Twitter at TD Haggerty. He is also something of a minor league baseball enthusiast and historian. I don't mean to overstate it, but I think you do such a good job with so many things. And in fact, you've got an entirely separate Twitter handle that you run that sort of talks a lot about fun things in the history of minor league baseball, which is at Miners Team Names. And you wrote a really great piece back in October that we sort of stumbled upon today, because today is the anniversary of the great Rodney McCray catch. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, what is Jesse talking about, the great Rodney McCray catch? One of the great minor league pieces of video of all time. It's a Vancouver-Portland game way back in the day, and Rodney McCray makes the running catch and goes through the outfield fence. And what you wrote back in October of last year was that we very nearly did not ever have this piece of video. Why don't you give us a little bit of the story there?
Yeah, there's a photographer in Portland named Craig Beck, and Gary Beck. And Gary was a news photographer for KOIN-TV, and this happened to be Memorial Day. It was a night game on Memorial Day, very slow on the police scanner, nothing else going on news-wise. It happened to be a very dull game. It was 2-1 at the time McCray ran through the fence. It was late in the game, and this is before MLB-TV, so really our only source for minor league video was the local TV stations. And Beck told me one time that if that was an 8-6 game in the seventh inning, he would have already been gone because he got us a couple of highlights for the sportscast, and typically he would have bounced out of there. But it was a boring game. There was nothing else going on in town, and Beck happened to be rolling for this momentous catch. And it's so interesting to think of, if the video didn't exist, it would be a myth. We wouldn't believe it. Wait a minute, he ran through the fence?
Right.
We would have perhaps looked at it with a roll of the eyes, like, there's no way that happened. Funny story, I had a chance to interview Rodney McCray one time when he was a roving instructor with the Reds. Very energetic guy. His personality is one that you'd expect him to be the type of guy to run through a wall. He's yelling, he's animated, and he has a great line that he always uses, including in our interview. He says, you know, the sign I ran through on the outfield wall was Flavor Pack Meats, a local deli. I should have ran through the Coca-Cola sign. I'd be a millionaire right now.
That's a great line, and yeah, one I'm sure he's used a million times, but it's a good one. Yeah, the Flavor Pack people, Flavor Pack people, you know, frozen and fresh deli meats, but I don't know, maybe not as lucrative a moment for him as if it would have been a Coca-Cola or maybe a Budweiser sign. Tim Haggerty on Twitter, at TD Haggerty. You keep up on some of his fun minor league stuff at Miners Team Names. He is the very talented broadcaster for the El Paso Chihuahuas. Tim, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate the time, and good luck to the Chihuahuas tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Seth. Great to talk to you guys again.
Absolutely. Tim Haggerty on the Cholula Hotline. Appreciate his time. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Hey, Seth, that was very nice. He thanked you. The guests don't often thank you.
That was really nice.
That was very nice. Way to go. Tim Haggerty, class act. We'll take a break, come back. More Padres Social Hour presented by United right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. With Randy Jones, I'm Jesse Angler. We're at Petco Park. Padres are in Anaheim. Final game of a three-game series. Final game of a six-game road trip up at the Big A. Team will return here tomorrow to take on the Pirates in the first of a four-game series. That's Randy Jones. And joining him on the couch now is Patrick Kurish from the Padres Communications
Patrick.
Department.
Hey, guys.
You may know him better on Twitter as at Friar Figures. If you watch this show, there's a pretty good chance you're a geeky Padre fan. And if you're a geeky Padre fan, you certainly better be following Friar Figures on Twitter because Friar Figures provides all manner of geeky Padre information.
I'm following you, by the way, now.
Perfect. I saw that.
Okay. Well, it's very nice of you to follow him.
I'm warning you. I'm
going to stay on me.
I'm going to stay on it.
I'm looking forward to seeing your replies to
his
tweets.
Actually, I kind of am, too.
Yeah.
Kind of
put the stick in the bear
gentleman.
Cage.
This could be dangerous.
Probably.
You should tweet a bunch of Randy Jones Friar Figures now.
Oh, stop.
Just be like, in honor of my new follower at RJBBQ. That's your thing, right?
Yes.
Here are some Randy Jones Friar figures.
There we go.
Like, kiss up to him a little bit, and that way you'll have a little money in
the
bank.
It won't do any good.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to let you know that.
So anyway, Patrick, he comes up with all these great numbers and stats and notes and things like that. And so we like to do a show or a segment occasionally on this show called So That Happened with Patrick.
And I have to be here.
Yeah, no, you have to be a part of it. Yeah, you're on the show today.
Nice.
So you have to be. You're going to like these.
Okay.
All right. So this year, all of these So That Happened notes have been tweeted by @FryerFigures. So let's pull up the first one, Blooper. And the first one is about tonight's starting pitcher, Andrew Cashner, who's one of six pitchers since 1920 and the first since the year of the pitcher, 1968, to have an ERA under 3 and 7 or more losses through his first 9 starts of the season. That sounds bad.
Yeah, that's very unlucky. More so is what I would call that. You know, obviously sitting at 1-7 with a 2.89. That being a product, of course, of a major league high 12 unearned runs this season, which, you know, obviously isn't on the pitcher. That's just unfortunate on his end. Also along those same lines, he gets his run support average this year is 2.41, which I believe is the 6th lowest mark in the National League this season, and he's got a total of 3 runs in support over his last 6 starts.
There's 3 total runs of support in his last 6 starts. That's Randy Jones-esque.
That's right. Scary. You know,
you're probably familiar with this.
You mean there's 5 guys ahead of him that are getting less runs?
That, actually, now that you put it that way, yeah, there are 5 guys that are getting
scary.
Less run support.
Yeah, those guys.
Conversely, I feel sorry for Cash.
Conversely, which is interesting, that you look at a guy in the same rotation like James Shields, who has the highest run support average in the National League.
Right.
Who has mid 3 ERA and he's 6 or 7-0.
And we talked about that with James Shields when he was here,
right.
Before the last trip, and he goes, "Hey, I've been both guys in my career." He goes, "Sometimes you're going to be the guy that gets crazy run support. Sometimes you're going to be the guy that doesn't get any run support, and there's really nothing you can do."
Yeah, but he usually it's not like every other starter. It didn't vary like that.
Yeah,
you either got that spot in the rotation where you're getting 4 or 5 runs, like in '78, Gaylord Perry won the Cy Young. I think he was getting 4.5 runs a game.
Exactly.
And, of course, you know who is starting the next day, don't you, all year? Moi.
This guy.
And I got about, 2.1, And it was just – and I kept telling Gator, "Hey, can we trade?" And he goes, "No, we're not trading."
Yeah, so Cashner, most unearned runs allowed in baseball and the 6th worst run support of any starter. And I guess you add all that together, you put it in the pot, stir it around, you're going to get 1-7 with a 2.89 ERA.
That's correct.
Oh, man. All right, that's a good Friar figure. It's a tough one for Andrew Cashner, but it's a good note
from you. Not necessarily bad, more so unlucky than bad.
No, you're right.
I like to look at it that
way.
Okay,
no, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. All right, our next Friar figure involves Justin Upton, Derek Norris, and Matt Kemp, who are the only trio of teammates in the National League to each have at least 25 runs batted in. Upton's got 35, Norris has 28, and Kemp has 25. So what you're telling me is that there is no other National League team that has 3 players who have driven in 25 or more runs?
That is correct. And to take that a step further, Yonhervis Solarte comes in today with 23.
Wow.
So knocking at the door there for 4. In the American League, we got Toronto with 4 players with 25-plus. And Minnesota, who doesn't apparently lose anymore.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. But
what
they
won, 22 in a row, and they're in first place now all
insane.
Of a sudden?
It's insane. They won't lose. But they also have 3 guys with 25-plus RBI.
Well, you know, with the American League, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
They've got the designated hitter, all that nonsense.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the American League?
The junior circuit, forget about it. We're having fun over there.
Yeah. All right, so that's pretty good. The only National League team to have 3.
Can I ask something?
Of course.
Well, if we have 3 guys with at least 25 or more RBIs,
mm-hmm.
how come we're 3 games under 500?
Not getting them all at the same time, I guess. You're spreading them out.
No, you know why, but that's the thing. They're either, winning 8-1 or they're losing
3-1. Right, you're getting
3-6
one day and
that's
9
right.
for a week.
That's,
and
that's the crazy thing.
Because all of those RBIs have come when James Shields has started, as we just learned.
Yeah, I mean, we score 11 or 13 over here, then we score 0 over here. Then we score 12 over here.
Got to make everything a little more consistent.
Well, what is the average runs per game for the Padres? Around 5, right?
They're sitting around, I think it's like 4, a shade lower than 4.5, I think.
Okay, so 4.5 runs per game. If they were scoring 4 or 5 runs per game every night, literally, as opposed to averaging it, they would probably be like five games over 500.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? With the way, especially the way the pitching has been in the last 2 weeks. But, you know, that's baseball, and you never know how these things are going to go. All right. Last night the Padres did something fun in extra innings, which is that they batted around in the 10th inning. You don't often see a team, it seems like, batting around in extra innings, and that is the subject of this next Fryer figure.
Exactly. So last night we sent nine guys to the plate in the 10th inning, scored four runs on four hits. So that was the first time that we had sent nine or more batters to the plate in an extra inning, any extra inning, since September 22nd of 2009 at Pittsburgh, where we did so also nine in the 11th inning. And we also, the four runs was the 17th time since 1984 that we have scored four or more runs in an extra inning, and the first time since Adrian Gonzalez hit a walk-off grand slam here in 2010 against the Mets. So that we obviously scoring four runs in an extra inning typically isn't something you'll see every day.
Right.
Nor batting around. No,
here's
regardless of whether or not your definition of batting around is nine or ten plate appearances.
I want you to look this one up, and I should have thought of this prior to this moment, and we could have had the answer. but I would like to know how many times in Padre history, going back to 1969, they have won an extra inning game for nothing.
I can't tell you since 2000, there have been 18 instances in which we've gone to extra innings tied 0-0. We are 10-8 in those games.
Okay.
I can't say that much.
That's something.
That's zeros.
I wouldn't see very –
that's a thing.
4-0 in an extra inning game, I bet that hasn't happened very often.
No. That
– yeah, that's –
I mean, one, you know. Two, I'll buy, but four – yeah.
If you had to guess?
I think more unique is batting around in the 10th inning.
Yeah.
If I were to guess, I'd say if we've done it, it's less than two or three times.
Wow. There you go. All right.
I'll just guess two.
You're basically Fryer Figures Jr. You're
yes.
right in line with all
well,
of this.
I've been here almost since 16. Maybe that's a problem.
Maybe you've seen all of these games.
I've seen a lot of games. Why don't you just tell me?
You're keeping you have a notebook somewhere that has the result of every game. Since,
you know, mine's cluttered with 42 years of Padre baseball.
Yeah,
that's
fair
all I can
enough.
Tell you.
Fair enough. All right, one of the other great positives for the Padres so far this year has been the strikeout from the pitchers. Padres pitchers for much of this season leading the league in strikeouts. So here's our next Fryer figure. Padres pitchers have 400 strikeouts through 47 games this year. That is the fewest number of games they've needed to get to 400 strikeouts. So this is the fastest that the Padres have ever had, 400 strikeouts from their pitchers.
Correct, and that's, I mean, that is by a fairly large number, last night being the 47th game. Previous record is 51, so we got to 400, and we're actually now sitting at 405. So we got there in four less games than we'd ever done so in the previous, 46 years of Padres history. So that's, that's impressive.
It is very impressive.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And it's just right now getting a couple of guys rolling.
That's it.
And that could really go up.
I mean, okay. Even to take it a step further with that, interesting, when you look at it, a guy like Despaigne or Morrow, who wasn't getting a lot of strikeouts, there's a spot in the rotation that, it's not like the James Shields or the Andrew Cashners or the Tyson Rosses that are going to go out there. Even the Ian Kennedys are going to get 7-plus every time out. So you're looking at the Despaignes and the Morrows of rotation that are going to go out there and get, not like it's a small number, but, between 4 and 5 or so. So even getting to that number, even with, that spot in the rotation that's been producing in that way, pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, I mean, the strikeouts have been there. And what Shields is leading the majors, or at least he was at some
point
this
week. Right.
He goes
back and forth. Kind of jockeys back and forth.
Yeah, we gotta put a hit out on Corey Kluber.
I set a record in 76.
With the losses.
No, that was 74.
Oh, that's 74.
don't get ahead of yourself. All right, but I think I'm the only starting pitcher to ever pitch over 300 innings in a year, and not strike out 100 guys.
That's a good one. I like that.
I had like 92 punch outs in 318 or 17 innings.
That's wild.
Everybody's got their thing,
How much did
– Let me take it a step further, though.
Okay.
I guarantee you 92 of those strikeouts I had, I know 50 were the other pitcher. Really. So I really only struck out 42 real guys.
This is not coincidental, though, right? I mean, you were able to throw that many innings was because you were pitching to contact and getting quick outs.
If I struck out, it was your fault. How'd you miss that? I wanted you to hit it.
I wonder what his BABIP was that year. Look into
what
ball was put in play, what the other team's batting average was when they put it in play.
Oh, I have no idea.
Probably fairly low.
I would think so.
You never know, though, because I give a lot of hits. Being a ground ball pitcher, you're going to give up. I gave up like 285 hits in 317. That's a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time in the stretch, but, you get enough ground balls, you're going to get out of it.
Double plays, man.
A lot of them.
Pitcher's best friend.
I love them.
And a lot of those old AstroTurf stadiums then too, right? A little easier on the infielders?
Well, it just made it – the ball got the shortstop quicker than you can turn it fast. That's what I looked at it.
All right, one more Friar figure. Brandon Maurer, we had a nice loving on him session earlier in the show. He's really been outstanding. So Brandon Maurer has not allowed a hit in his last five outings. He's walked one in that time. And no runs in his last 12 outings, which is over 13 innings. He's been really, really good lately.
He's been really good. And during that 12-outing, 13-inning stretch, that takes us back to May 2nd. And that's the longest scoreless streak by a Padres pitcher, starter, or reliever this season. And during that time, he's held the opposition to an 0.95 batting average, which is the third lowest mark in Major League Baseball this month and the second lowest in the National League among pitchers who have faced 40 or more batters.
Doing it quietly. Probably just the way Brandon Maurer kind of likes it. Just go out and getting his job done, not making a big deal
out
of it.
He's bringing his lunch pail and he's doing his
job.
That's
it. And like you said, that one two-inning stint that he had.
Yes.
You know, with the 13 innings and 12 appearances. So, you know, I see him maybe getting that position where a buddy will go to him.
I'm going to get you a Brandon Maurer jersey.
Thank you.
And you can wear it around. All right, cool. Great stuff with Patrick. Make sure you're following at Friar Figures on the Twitter for nuggets like that. Nice job, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We'll take a break
when we come back. More tweets, but these from you, the fans. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks to Patrick Kurz for stopping by.
I like that.
A.K.A. at Friar Figures.
Those tidbits aren't TMI.
Yeah, you like them.
No. Those are good.
Some of the tweets are.
Ooh.
Like, if you're not a stat guy, some of them you're going to look at them and you're going to say, what is this?
Yeah.
But they're really good. I love it. I love every single one.
That's really good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Let's get to some fan tweets using the hashtag PadresSH. We start with our buddy Darklighter from Gaslamp Ball. This was just very nice. I thought, you know, once in a while somebody says something nice. Been a while since I've had a chance to catch this much of Padres Social Hour. I missed it. Well, that's very sweet.
I wonder where he's been.
I'm sure he's been busy. He's got a life. He's got a dog that needs eye drops.
Say no more.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's got things going on. All right. We were talking about the interleague play earlier. Callan wants to know which interleague series we prefer more, the natural rivalry with the Mariners or this series against the Orange County Angels of Anaheim, Los Angeles.
Give me the Angels anytime.
Yeah, man.
I like that.
I like this a lot.
That would be a big league rivalry.
Right?
I'm just saying that Mariners, Padres – I mean, let's get through spring training. I'm sick of them.
Yeah, you see them way too much in spring training.
Way too much.
You share the building with them. You play them the first two games. You play them like four more times, it seems like. I'm good. Now, that said, Seattle, great town. I went there.
I love it up there. Love the ballpark.
Great ballpark, great town. So from that standpoint, I don't mind, you know, this natural rivalry with the Mariners. But, man, the Angels make so much more sense.
They sure do.
So much more sense. They're right up the road.
Yeah.
The Angel fans, too, by the way, they say enough of this Dodger nonsense. They want to play us. I was polling people on Twitter yesterday or the day before. Very scientific Twitter polling, and everybody was like, give me the Angels.
Oh, I think it's a better venue. It's a better game to watch.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I love it.
All right. Quick one from Friar Fever. As we were talking about All-Star voting earlier, he goes, do you think it's a good thing that people can vote up to 35 times for the All-Star team?
That's a good thing. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
I like the number.
It's an exhibition.
35.
I think he's saying is if you let everybody vote once, you'll get a more honest representation of who should be starting. My thing is, hey, man, it's populism. Give the people what they want.
It's a popularity contest, number one. And then you'll never get around that.
Unless you're a pitcher, in which case you are tabbed as the guy like you in 1976. You didn't have to win a fan vote. The experts knew, hey, Randy Jones has got to be the guy to start this game.
Pretty much, when the dust clears, I think we'll find out right before the All-Star game who's going to start.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Good questions. Got to take a break. Come back. We'll wrap it up after this. Reminder, too, that coming up on Saturday, it's a baseball night in San Diego, a 7:10 first pitch, not a 5:40, 7:10 this Saturday between the Padres and the Pirates. If you're in attendance, you will get a Matt Kemp replica jersey presented by Petco. Everybody gets one. So get your tickets if you don't have them already at Padres.com. A Kemp camo jersey for all fans in attendance this Saturday night. We wrap up Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
RJ, we're just about out of time.
Blooper, I love it.
Here. He's saying we have like no time to do anything else. Hey, Heath Bell, the great relief pitcher who recently retired.
Right.
He just said something very nice on Twitter. He said, "Padres SH rocks. Great show.
Love
all
it.
Capitals.
Nice.
Maybe
thank you.
Maybe Heath Bell will stop by soon. What do you think about that?
I look forward to seeing him.
I've heard nothing but awesome things about Heath Bell.
Well, talk about pitching. That's what I like about.
Yeah.
It.
No, from a right-handed perspective, get some real understanding of what's going out on the mound. Unlike you crazy lefties. Hey, enjoy the game, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30. The Buccos are in town.